The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UAP reality. I'm David Twitchell, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO, UAP, and abduction phenomenon. Ray Hernandez is our guest today. Ray is currently the director of Consciousness and Contact Research Institute, CCRI. He is editor of several anthologies, including Beyond UFOs, and the first two volumes of A Greater Reality. He is author of The Mind of God, a spiritual virtual reality model for consciousness and the contact modalities. Ray is one of the four co-founders of FREE, F-R-E-E, the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. Ray attended Rutgers College, Cornell University, and was a PhD candidate at UK Berkeley in City and Regional Planning. He was also the recipient of a National Science Foundation PhD fellowship at UC Berkeley. Ray held the position of adjunct professor for 6 years at the New School for Social Research and the City University of New York. He served as director for the Center for a Sustainable Urban Environment at the City University of New York and as the director of the Office of Community Environmental Planning for the City of New York. Ray and his entire family have experienced conscious physical contact with non-human intelligence in their family home. All the family members have also had various contact experiences with large UFOs. Ray was on this show a little more than 2 years ago, but his latest book, A Greater Reality, The New Paradigm of Non-Local Consciousness and Paranormal and the Contact Modalities, which is the third book in a series, was just released this past September, and I'm curious to review that with our listeners. So let's welcome him back to the show. Welcome back, Ray Hernandez.
Thank you for the invitation, David.
It's my pleasure. It's good to have you back. You sent me a couple of on your book, and you're giving some of this information away free of charge for those who apply. Is that correct?
Correct. I'm giving away several of my books, one book entirely, and the other, roughly half of one book, and the other is another half of the other book. So these are almost more than 1,000 pages total I'm giving for free. So this is academic research that over 45 PhD academics and medical doctors are doing on the paranormal, which also includes UFOs, just on the UFO section, which is included in volume two of our book, A Greater Reality. We have 11 chapters that have been written by academic professors and medical doctors that are UFO contact experiencers, explaining the consciousness aspects of the UFO phenomenon. So it's a radical paradigm that is not being discussed in ufology, and I'm offering that information free for anyone. They just have to send me an email. My email is info, so that's info at agreaterreality.com. That's all one word. Info at agreaterreality.com.
Very good. And I encourage my listeners to go there. And we'll mention that again before we let you go, okay, Ray?
Okay, excellent.
So that they will be sure to send you an email and hopefully get this information, because it's free and it's
academic.
It's academic and it's really worthwhile. Of course, there were so many pages, I was unable to read all of it, but what I read was just, you know, mind-blowing, really.
Yeah, exactly. And what I would recommend for everyone is to first read this book, which I'm going to send you for free. It's titled The Mind of God, A Spiritual Virtual Reality Model of Consciousness and the Contact Modalities. And this is pretty much a summary of the book, A Greater Reality. It goes into all the different components of that four-volume book. And it's based upon academic research. People mm-hmm. that have investigated near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, ghosts and spirits, hallucinogenic journeys, UFOs. And all of these PhD academics and medical doctors are saying that all of these experiences need to be studied as one phenomenon, that they're not separate. And so so that's why it's mind-blowing. And it's a new paradigm. It's a new way of thinking. And I'm going to give it to you for free.
That is great. That's one question I was going to ask you, because I think I asked you this the last time, but would you consider the UFO phenomenon all part and parcel of other dimensional or extraterrestrial phenomena?
Well, it's certainly not extraterrestrial. It's not. It's interdimensional. Mm-hmm. It's a consciousness-based phenomenon. And you most certainly have heard of J. Allen Hynek, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He was the father of modern ufology. And Dr. Hynek, towards the last few years of his life, that's what he believed in. He didn't believe in ETs coming from a physical planet, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I've got, you know, his interviews where he discusses that. And also Jacques Vallée, who I consider the father of modern ufology. After Dr. Hynek died, he's been discussing this for over 40 years.
Yeah.
But yet no one in ufology pays attention to Jacques Vallée, yet he's the most important and influential researcher on this phenomenon. And in my opinion, mm-hmm. I don't think anyone comes close to the work of Dr. Vallée. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying the same thing I'm saying. He's saying that these are consciousness-based phenomena involving a manipulation of space-time. And by definition, when something involves a manipulation of space-time, we're talking about something that is, quote-unquote, multidimensional or interdimensional in nature. And that's what our book is all about. And I could go into more detail in that if you'd like.
Well, that said, do you believe that... Or is there any evidence to show that there are intelligent beings on other planets in our galaxy, in our universe?
Well, that's a multi-pronged question.
Let's take it step by step.
Step by step. Yes, our reality, I don't use the word galaxy or galaxies, mm-hmm. and I don't use the word physical reality. But our greater reality is comprised of, if you could think of, different layers, okay? Different dimensions, different hierarchies. If you could think of a Russian doll, they call Makusha dolls, mm-hmm. okay? Where like one is inside of another, okay?
Right.
That is an easy way of being able to think of multidimensional reality. Okay. Mm-hmm. We are in the reality that we perceive just the five physical senses, you know, eyesight, hearing, taste, touch, you know, et cetera. And so that's what we understand to be our physical reality. But once you have an out-of-body experience, and all of a sudden your consciousness is out of your body, and you see your body underneath you, or if you have a near-death experience, okay, where, yeah, you die, you might have had a heart attack, and all of a sudden see your body underneath you, or you might be in the emergency room, and you see your body underneath you with all these doctors and nurses around you, okay? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, your consciousness all of a sudden gets zipped away via this tunnel into this other reality. You know, that's the early components of a near-death experience. Once you have these experiences, then you know that you are not just flesh and bones, that you're not just physical, that your reality is actually a bit more complex because your consciousness was brought to other dimensions. Mm-hmm. Other hierarchies. Now, one interesting finding of the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Free Foundation, five-year academic research study. It took us 5 years to do this. And this is a team of 10 PhD academics, including Dr. Edgar Mitchell and many of the leading UFO researchers. You certainly know Kathleen Martin, right?
Oh, yeah. She's been on the show.
She's been on the show, okay. Barbara Lamb. Dr. Leo Sprinkle, he's now since has passed away. Mary Rodwell from Australia, et cetera, et cetera. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who studied the paranormal, and I wrote 64 books on it. Brad Steiger, who wrote 165 books, not mm-hmm. only on the paranormal, but I think he had like 10 books on UFOs, okay? Yeah. So it was a mixture of these 10 PhD academics with all of these people that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And for 5 years, we did for the first time the world's first and only comprehensive statistical multi-language academic research study that was implemented around the world. We received more than 4,300 responses to three surveys from individuals from more than 125 countries. We also did these surveys in four major languages, okay? So this is a huge, monstrous endeavor. Mm-hmm. And we published those findings in this book titled Beyond UFOs. And the full name of it is Beyond UFOs, The Science of Consciousness and Contact with Non-Human Intelligence. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier in the introduction, I'm going to give you three major chapters from that book. And that is more than 300 pages. Mm-hmm. And that includes the analysis of the quantitative data and an analysis of the qualitative data. And those were written by PhD professors. They analyzed the data with a PhD statistician. So this is real academic research. This is what 4,300 people have told us. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, what we found in that research study is that much of our research findings contradicts what is circulating in mainstream materialist ufology. Mm-hmm. Okay, totally contradicts it. Why? Because no one has ever done the study before. As I said before, all you had was thousands of separate individual books mm-hmm. by individuals that have had these experiences. And you've had these publications by these pseudo researchers. People who published their books based upon hypnotic regressions, like David Jacobs and Bud Hopkins, and all of them had these preconceived notions that these experiences were all highly negative and that hybridization was occurring and stuff like that. The most important research findings from our book demonstrate that what is circulating in materialist ufology today are not correct. And you could say, why? You know, simple reason. No one has ever done this before, okay? Mm-hmm. We're the only one. Kathleen Martin did a smaller survey, which confirmed what we came out with. And that's Kathleen Martin, okay? Yeah. But our research study confirmed that these experiences were not negative In the beginning, 37% viewed them as negative. Why? Because, as Dr. John Mack stated, the ontological shock of the experience. If you see a being right in front of you, you're going to be totally scared and shocked, okay?
All right.
Well, that's what we found out, that initially 37% viewed it as negative. But over time, the vast majority of these experiencers continued to have experiences. And then the more experiences they had, then they changed their viewpoints. Then it became highly positive. And Kathleen Martin is a classic example. Whitley Strieber is a classic example. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, he viewed these as, you know, horrible experiences, negative, highly negative. Mm-hmm. But now he views them as deeply spiritual experiences, which totally changed them into a spiritual person. And that's what we found out with, again, 85% of the people that took our survey, was that these people are now deeply spiritual, very loving. They are much more ecologically friendly, and that they understand that this phenomenon is not a physical phenomenon, that it's a paranormal phenomenon. And the percentages that view it as negative is only 4%. Yeah. Okay, that's it. They started with 37%, but at the end, mm-hmm. when they took our surveys, it was only 4%. So that's just one of our major research findings, but there's numerous others. And it contradicts the research of Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs. At most, they only work with 200 people. That's okay. 200 people. And so it totally contradicts their work, which is based on hypnotic regressions.
Right.
This was not hypnotic regressions. This is people telling us about their experiences directly.
All right. I need to take a break right now to remind our listeners that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell, and this is We Are Not Alone, and we're speaking with the researcher and PhD, Mr. Ray Hernandez. And getting back to this, Ray, why are there people who believe that these are, or who have had negative experiences with let's call them ET or whatever. Why have they had negative experiences and reported?
Well, for example, we had 646 people who had encounters with reptilian-like beings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Large group, okay? 646 people, okay? And with the short grays, we had 1,350 people that had encounters with the short grays. Now, with the short grays, only 10% viewed their experiences as negative. That's it, 10%. 60% viewed it as neutral. The rest viewed it as highly positive. Okay? Okay. Now, with the reptilians, that was the highest number of negativity. It was 26%. Okay? Versus all of the other types of physical beings, it was like less than 10% for all the other groups, okay? So if we want to find out what in the world is going on with these reptilians, 26% of the people, which is still only 1/4, viewed their experiences as negative. So what we did is we went to the written responses to our written questions for the people that had reptilian experiences. And what we discovered was not that the reptilian raped them, or the reptilian ate their child, or that Barack Obama's a reptilian, you know, all of that stuff, you know. What we discovered was that they were totally shell-shocked when they saw that being right in front of them, okay?
Right.
Most of these experiences occurred within a few feet. It's not like the reptilian appeared, you know, 100 meters away from you, or, you know, 10 meters away from you. It was like right up close. Mm-hmm. Barbara Lamb had an experience with a reptilian, which was only a few feet right in front of her. Mm-hmm. But she had worked with so many experiencers, and many of them have had reptilian experiences, she didn't blink an eye. And because she wasn't afraid, she started a conversation with that being. And they started talking up a storm, okay? Mm-hmm. And that being was like, you know, said, I'm so grateful you're not scared of me, and went on to give her spiritual lessons, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is the highly respected Barbara Lamb, okay? Kathleen Martin had experiences with these short grays. Now, initially, she was very frightened of them. Towards the very end, she was like, You know, these are spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm.
This is Kathleen Martin. Same thing with Whitney Strieber. Okay. So, as I said, with the short grace, 10%, 10.5% actually viewed their experiences as negative. Mm-hmm. Okay. 60% no, it was a neutral experience. The rest of it was highly positive. Now, the reason we found out, in particular, the reptilian beings, was people were scared of their physicality. All of a sudden, you see a being right in front of you that's 7 to 8 feet tall. It looks like a crocodile. It's got a long tail. It's got little beady eyes and with alligator, you know, green skin, and it's 2 feet from you. And so most of the people there are going to be frightened to the death for the rest of their lives. But then later on, a lot of these people have continued experiences. Okay, not only with the reptilian type of beings, with other types of beings. Okay, or other people might have had experience with other types of beings, and then they have this encounter with this perceived reptilian being, and then they know it's not harmful. Okay, but then only 26% said it was negative.
Mm-hmm. And so, what was your first experience with non-human entities?
Well, I'll go over it very briefly because I want to spend more time talking about the new books. But basically, my first experience was a joint experience with my wife. It was an experience where this energy being healed our dog, who was totally paralyzed, who we were going to be euthanizing later that afternoon.
Mm.
My wife had been praying all night to the Virgin Mary of Mexico. And that morning at 6 a.m., boom, this being appeared.
Hmm.
And then later on, when we both woke up because it put us to sleep, the dog was running around the living room, completely healed.
Okay, so she was praying, very religious, I assume. And why would this not have been an angel as opposed to an alien being?
Well, she sees it as an angelic experience.
Okay.
But then later on, she began to pray at night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to that angelic being, and what would show up? UFOs, large UFOs.
Uh-huh.
And then I started trying to communicate with the UFOs that she was communicating with, and guess what? 15 minutes later, these huge UFOs would appear.
Prior to that, were you a UFO believer?
No. I thought you and everyone else that listens to this radio show were all a bunch of nuts. Okay. I had zero interest in these topics and zero knowledge of it.
Yeah. But that started you off.
It started me off because I then had additional paranormal experiences. That's one of the major findings from our book, Beyond UFOs, was that 85% of these individuals had numerous different types of paranormal experiences. They were having out-of-body experiences. They were having near-death experiences. They were seeing orbs. They were being transported to other realities. As a matter of fact, 50% of the people that took our survey were brought to other multidimensional realities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But yet ufology doesn't discuss that. Okay? Like Whitley Strieber was brought to other realities. Kathleen Martin was brought to other realities. Barbara Lamb was brought to other realities. You know, and most of the major contact experiencers were brought to other realities. But yet, ufology doesn't even know to ask that question. But yet, we have it in our survey.
Yeah. Whitley Strieber's first book, Communion, showed us that he regarded these beings as intrusive and possibly evil. He was frightened of them.
Just like 37% of the people that took our survey,
right?
They're frightened of this. But now, Whitley Strieber, when he prays to these to this intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
He considers them modern angels.
Mm-hmm.
They have allowed him to talk with his deceased wife, and he communicates with her frequently. Okay, but yet Whitley's not the only one. Okay, mm-hmm. Kathleen Martin just recently published a book titled From Alien Abduction to Spiritual Transformation. Kathleen Martin is now Love and Light, okay? And into consciousness, both of them, that our reality is not what we perceive it to be. It's something much more complex. Yeah. So these two individuals are just examples of the tens of thousands of people, okay? But people are still discussing the alien abduction stuff.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, no one has heard of alien abductions in the last 15, 20 years. Ask Kathleen Martin. Ask Barbara Lamb. Ask Mary Rodwell. Okay? They'll tell you, maybe one case in the last 15 years. Okay? No. But yet, when we're talking about these paranormal consciousness-based experiences, there are thousands of experiencers that are talking about this now.
Yeah. You refer to them as modern angels. Now, I wrote a book on biblical UFOs. And I compared what they saw 2,000, 4,000 years ago to what we're seeing today. And I surmised that what they were seeing then was what we're seeing today, except they regarded them as angels or angels of God or beings from heaven because they came from up in the sky. And do you think that what they were seeing then was intelligent beings from other dimensions?
Yes,
what we're seeing today?
Yeah, 110%. And also, you have to understand the quote-unquote UFO phenomenon has changed over the years.
Yeah,
like I said before, you no longer hear about alien abductions. Okay, the phenomenon is changing over the years. Before, no one saw these physical UFOs. Okay, it might have been wooden flying ships. It might have been different types of objects. So this phenomenon that we're interacting with changes over time, and also. For the physicality of it, but we perceive it as something very, very physical. But let me just toss something out for your listeners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Extremely common is people that see deceased relatives in physical form after they died, okay? Mm-hmm. So let me give you an example. You go to the funeral of your Aunt Sally 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. You've seen her buried in the ground, okay? 2 days later, she appears in your living room in her favorite Sunday dress. Very physical. Now, you probably know people that have had that experience, okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay? But there are literally thousands, not millions of people all over the world. The thing is that people just don't talk about it, okay? Now, let me ask you a question for the readers, listeners that are out there, okay? Is the Aunt Sally that you saw, is it real or not real? And let me ask you another question, a follow-up question. Is the Aunt Sally that you saw in your living room, is she physical or not physical? The answer to that question is both. Okay?
Just like, to answer the question.
Yeah. Just like Schrodinger's cat, very famous
right.
Pioneer in quantum physics, gave an example of a cat in a box. Okay? And I won't go into all those details, but basically his response was that it was both dead and alive at the same time. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so it's the same thing. Our reality is filled with this dualism of what we perceive as being physical and also what we perceive as non-physical, as paranormal, as psyche. And that was what Alan Hynek was getting at, and that's what Jack Vallée was getting at, and that's why my five new books are getting at. And as I said before, I'll give another plug. I'm giving this information for free, including our book, The Mind of God, for free. Just send me an email to info@experiencer.com. Okay. Now, my book discusses that complexity, okay, in much more detail that we can do in a short interview here. But what many of the researchers in our organization, they're saying that our reality is an illusion, what the Indians and the Vedic tradition used to call Maya. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Buddhist tradition, with ancient Greek philosophy, ancient Roman philosophy. The whole history of humanity is filled with this concept that our physical reality is not our true physical reality. And let me just say that The Mind of God is the introduction to my 4-volume book titled The Greater Reality. Each of these 4 volumes is 800 pages in length. Okay. The first two volumes are written primarily by PhD academics and some medical doctors that are also researchers of the phenomenon. Okay. Now, the Contact and Contact Research Institute, well, it's comprised of, as I said before, 45 academics. And what we seek is to articulate, to present a new paradigm that integrates the field of consciousness studies, consciousness research, and the phenomenology of extraordinary experiences, which, you know, in common language is the paranormal. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we in our organization call the contact modalities. Okay. And our organization has individuals that are PhDs in astrophysics, theoretical physics, philosophy, psychiatry, psychology, neuroscience, sociology, quantum biology, information sciences, statistics, parapsychology, and like about six medical doctors. Okay. So, and what we're studying is the relationship between consciousness, which is the nature of our reality, and the paranormal contact modalities. And the paranormal contact modalities are, I talked about it earlier, near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, the UFO phenomena, which we call consciousness aerial phenomena. We don't call them UFOs or UAPs. We call them CAPs. Consciousness aerial phenomenon, the phenomenon of people that have communications or sightings of ghosts and spirits, remote viewing, hallucinogenic psychedelic journeys, channeling, post-death communications, mediumship, mystical meditation, lucid dreams, what is called CE5. I prefer the term HICE, human initiated contact experiences. And there are numerous others. So what we're saying that all of these experiences involve a manipulation of space-time. And therefore, all of these experiences are consciousness-based phenomena that need to be studied as one integrated consciousness-based phenomenon. Okay? And
clear one thing up here.
Yeah.
You say this is consciousness-based, and I accept that. However, what about these pictures from the Navy, et cetera, pictures that people get of these solid objects, are they physical objects coming through another dimension? Or are they...
I would argue no. And my book always argues all the reasons why no, okay? They're both solid, and they're both not solid, okay? just think of Aunt Sally.
Okay.
That's the answer to your question. Think of Aunt Sally. Think of people that see orbs. Okay? There's tons of people, especially major experiencers. We had 60% of the people that took our surveys said that they have seen orbs. Not in a video, not in a picture, but in real life. Okay? So are those orbs, and many of them go through walls. Right. They go through the ceiling or the roof. Are they real? Are they not real? Are they physical or are they not physical? Okay. Now we're getting into something interesting here. Okay. Now we're getting into the consciousness-based aspects of ufology. Let me give you an illustration of this. I, and not only me, and several other authors in our chapter, volume 2, which is has 11 chapters on UFOs, we argue that what we're actually seeing are holographic projections. Do we have time like for a 2-minute discussion on this?
Yeah, let me give one more station identification, and then I'll just let you go.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So we run out of time, because I need to remind our listeners, you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. We're speaking with author and researcher and PhD, Mr. Ray Hernandez. And now you held that thought, let her rip.
Okay. Now, in terms of the argument that the UFO are consciousness-based phenomenon, mm-hmm. in my book, The Mind of God, I go into that in detail. And also in several of the chapters of our greater reality, specifically volume 2, we have 11 chapters that discuss that. And Dr. Joseph Burks, who's a retired medical doctor, he has worked with calling down these consciousness aerial phenomena, these CAPs, mm-hmm. Since 1992. Okay, so he knows what the hell he's talking about. and he's had tons of these types of experiences, and also experiences with non-human intelligences. So a couple of examples. With the, let's take the Nimitz. A lot of your listeners are familiar with that case, okay? Mm-hmm. You had these Air Force pilots that were sent up to try to investigate these UFOs that were on the radar, okay? Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, a lot of these UFOs appeared like 40 miles away, okay? Or at a great distance. I forgot the exact mileage of it. Okay. And guess where they all had planned to meet after, like, you know, 15 minutes later?
Who planned?
All these Air Force pilots together with the commanders from the Nimitz.
Okay.
They all had orchestrated for them to meet, not to go back to the Nimitz, but this other location, which was, you know, many, many, many miles away. Okay. They mm-hmm. were supposed to go into that sector. Well, guess who was appearing in that, in the same exact sector? Okay. After the Air Force pilots could not interact with these UFOs. The UFOs were there waiting for them.
Okay.
Okay. So then you ask the question, how did this intelligence know what was in their mind of the pilots? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's one little question. Okay. That this is not as simple as many people think it is. Okay. Another example. When I called my first of like four UFOs that I tried five times, four times I was successful. They all appeared in within 15 minutes. Okay. There was telepathic communication going on. How does that work? Ray Hernandez is outside his house, and he's requesting to see the UFO that his wife is interacting with. Okay. Mm-hmm. Within 15 minutes, all of a sudden, they're there. How does that work if this is not a consciousness-based phenomenon?
They knew your thoughts, yeah.
Exactly. And also CE5. There's thousands of people all over the world that are doing it successfully. And in the internet, there's tons of these CE5 groups on, and also on Facebook. Okay.
Okay. CE5. Explain that to our listeners.
It's basically you're outside. Okay. And most people go to deserts and, you know, where there's no population, and they usually do it as a group. Okay. As a large group, but you don't need to. You could do it on your own outside your house. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you think the thought of wanting to see a UFO. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, usually it can work for people that have had other types of quote unquote consciousness-based paranormal experiences. If you never had any of the above, and you're out there and you're trying to call down a UFO, most likely you're not going to be successful. So mm-hmm. that's why a lot of these groups, when they have these sessions, they're called CE5, but I said I prefer the term HICE, HICE, human initiated contact experiences. They go with someone that is an antenna, someone that has success in doing that in the past. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, once you were part of a group and have seen that, have had those experiences, then many of these people are then successful on their own in doing that. Okay. So that's a consciousness-based phenomenon. Okay. Now, same thing happened with me when that UAP, what I call a CAP, consciousness aerial phenomena, appeared. Okay. There was telepathic communication going on, mind to mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, what I initially saw was about 100 oblong streaks of light that formed the whole shell of this object. And inside was all this white plasma. Then my friends appear, and it's three adults, and they began to question. I said, you know what the hell it is? And they said, no, it can't be. It can't be. They try to explain it away. So after 2 minutes, I communicated with my mind to this intelligence. I said, you better come up with something better than this because my friends don't believe you. Immediately, what we were watching was totally replaced. Now it was replaced by like about 100 large orbs, the size of Volkswagens, okay, that were blinking on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. And this was what appeared to be inside of what I was watching before, but it was something totally different. Okay. So that's why I argue it's a holographic projection, because it read my thoughts. Look, you better come up with something better than this, because this is garbage. They don't believe you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden I was immediately replaced by something totally different, like a hologram.
Okay? And when you say inside, were you inside the craft?
Oh, no. I was the bottom of this. It wasn't a craft. The bottom of this object was about 30 feet. On top of me and us. and my 10-year-old daughter was there at the same time.
Did it appear to be a craft?
No. It was nothing physical. Nothing physical. As I said before, it was streaks of light.
Oh.
For example, you get a pencil and you draw an oblong streak of light.
Okay. But
a huge one. Okay. It's like 600 meters back. And you put so many of them together that you form sort of like the skeleton of a dinosaur, the rib cage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You get the picture now, you know? And, yeah. And inside was all this white plasma swirling around. So all of that was instantaneously deleted and replaced by something totally different. Mm-hmm. Now, my friend, Dr. Joseph Burks, said that when he started calling down UFOs, it was like the second one that actually appeared to him, because he had been seeing these large orbs in the sky and doing these impossible moves at the sky, which is the typical stuff that people see mm-hmm. when they call down these UFOs, which I call consciousness aerial phenomena. The second or third sighting that he had was actually a physical wooden airplane, okay? Bright red from like World War I, something like that, with little bitty wings. It didn't even have a propeller. It had no pilot, okay? No cockpit. And he was like, what the hell is this? You know, this is not a real plane. And it was making no noise. And it was like, you know, going slowly above him. And so, you know, he figured out that this was part of this UFO phenomenon. Now, he later interpreted that as a holographic projection, because this thing was not real. This thing could not possibly fly.
And okay. It could not have possibly been a dream.
No. He had just gotten out of his car and he stepped to the side.
Okay.
When he was going to the desert to call down UFOs.
Gotcha.
And he stepped to the side, and that's where it appeared. Very close to him, like 100 feet.
Okay, him. I'm just
he clearly saw all those details.
Clearing that up for our listeners that might be scared.
Yeah. So these are just a couple of examples, but there are tons of examples that, you know, that all of a sudden people are watching something, and all of a sudden, boom, is something totally different, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And an example of that as well is people are watching an object. It might appear physical, and all of a sudden it just disappears right in front of you.
All right.
And that's just not with the UFOs. That's also with the beings. You're
right.
Interacting with a perceived physical being, and then, boom, it just vanishes right in front of you, okay? So, again, you need to see this as Aunt Sally, okay? Mm-hmm. Is this real? Is it not real? Is it physical or is it not physical? The answer is both. Now, to explain that is very detailed and somewhat complicated. But in my book, The Mind of God, I go into that, you know, explaining that. And then the greater reality, as I said earlier, is I think I sent you at least the first two volumes. Each of those books are 800 pages. These are all written by academics and medical doctors. They're all academic articles, okay? Some of them are much more difficult to understand, but the vast majority are written for the average person to be able to understand.
In layman's terms,
yeah. Now, in terms of the sections of the book, okay, in volume one, we talk about this concept of consciousness, that consciousness is primary, not our physical reality. And we have 7 articles that discuss that. Almost all of them are by PhD academics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The second topic is headed up by Dr. Edgar Mitchell, and it has an article that was only published one time, and that's in the Journal of Astrophysics, which is the journal of Dr. Rudy Shield, who was a professor for 45 years at Harvard University, professor of astrophysics. Mm-hmm. That article is a little bit complicated to read because it has physics terminology in it. But I had to read it 3 times, but I got through it, okay? But this is an article of Edgar Mitchell explaining the nature of our reality and the quantum hologram and this whole issue of information being retrieved from other realities, other dimensions, okay? And so this is Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon, PhD from MIT, okay? So that section is titled Non-Local Consciousness, Telepathy, and the Quantum Hologram. And also, for a lot of people don't know, Edgar Mitchell started the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which is the world's leading academic research institute on telepathy and the psi phenomenon. Okay, he started that in 1972. So this is his most important article discussing his conclusions after numerous years studying the paranormal. And then we have, as I said, a total of five articles in this section. The next article is on out-of-body experiences, remote viewing, and consciousness. You've heard of remote viewing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we have an article by one of the pioneers of remote viewing, Stephen A. Schwartz. He was doing remote viewing before the Stanford Research Institute in 1972. Mm-hmm. And then another section is lucid dreams. And then we have five articles, which are conclusionary articles. And then volume two starts off with a section on near-death experiences and the survival of human consciousness, that when we physically die, we, our souls, our spirit, whatever you might want to call it, continues.
All right.
Okay. And so we have one, two, three, four, five articles that discusses that. Three of these articles are by the leading academic researchers on near-death experiences. An article by Raymond Moody, by Dr. Jeffrey Long, and Dr. Bruce Grayson. These are three out of the five major pioneers on near-death experiences. Okay. And then,
go ahead.
And then the next section is what most of the audience members here are going to be are interested in, which is UFOs. Okay, we have 11 articles that discuss the relationship between consciousness and UFOs. That the UFO phenomenon is actually a consciousness-based phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go over all the authors here, but roughly half of them are PhD academics.
Okay.
And then the last section is a section on ghosts and spirits and communication with ghosts and spirits. And then the last section deals with entheogenic research. This is people that have consumed ayahuasca, DMT, magic mushrooms, LSD, whatever. There's an article by a professor, a tenured professor for over 30 years at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Now, the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine is in the top five, of major medical schools in the United States, okay? It's almost impossible to get in there for medical school. Well, this guy is a professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine for numerous years. And he wrote an article comparing people that have consumed entheogens, you know, ayahuasca, DMT, magic mushrooms, which is the ingredient psilocybin, as having a near-death experience. He compared how both of them are so similar. Okay, so again, getting back to my initial argument that these things have to be studied as one phenomenon because they're so similar to each other. And then we have five conclusionary articles that, you know, bring it all home. And so that's volumes one and volume two of A Greater Reality. Volumes three and four are written by major contact experiencers, people that have had not one type of experience, but they've seen UFOs. They've gone out of their bodies. They've had near-death experiences. They've seen ghosts and spirits. They've seen Sasquatch, you know. There's one medical doctor, which is highlighted in volume one of my book. And also I mentioned her in my book, The Mind of God, Dr. Melinda Greer, just recently retired as a medical doctor at a major hospital, a children's hospital. She's had all of the above. Mm-hmm. She was quiet all these years. There's another man who's a great friend of mine who lives in Miami. He's a retired DEA agent. Okay. He was in charge of all the Caribbean for the DEA. All right. He was the one that busted Manuel Noriega, the dictator of Panama, for bringing in tons of cocaine here, you know. Mm. And he wrote this book titled Captured, how he captured Manuel Noriega and the dictator from Haiti, you know, a baby Dr. Valier for importing cocaine. So these are major, respectable people.
Right.
Yet they are two of the major contact experiencers I've ever met. But both of them have been quiet all their lives. Okay. But they're discussed in my book, The Mind of God.
So briefly, you're mentioning ghosts, spirits, whatever, you know, life after death. Do you touch at all on reincarnation?
Yes, I discuss that. I discuss in my book the movement of the human soul, okay? For example, if you have an out-of-body experience, you're no longer in the 4D dimension of length and width and height and space-time, okay? Mm-hmm. You're in another astral realm, okay? But you're still interacting with Earth and physical things. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have an astral travel experience, you're piercing that. You're going beyond that dimension of where out-of-body experiences occur, and you're having an astral travel. You have an NDE, you even go further. You go straight to the mind of God when you have an NDE. You go straight to source. Mm-hmm. Now, reincarnation is where your individuated unit of consciousness, which is who you really are, your soul, your spirit, gets recycled into another body.
Okay? Right.
That information gets stored into the central database of God, to the mind of God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Edgar Mitchell talks about this as an Akashic record. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yes, I discuss reincarnation as part of the cycle of the movement of the human soul in these different hierarchies.
Right.
And I also discuss the academic literature on that bit, because Dr. Ian Stevenson studied reincarnation for over 30 years at the University of Virginia. And he was the director of psychiatry at the University of Virginia School of Medicine. So this is not just a crazy madman. This is a tenured professor of psychiatry at a medical school.
And yeah, I read his book, yeah.
And then the person that replaced him, Jim Tucker, who Ian Stevenson brought him because he was already 80 years old to replace him. And he trained him. And he continued this research book. So we have articles by Jim Tucker in our book as well. Mm-hmm. And so I discuss reincarnation as well.
Right. Yeah, I've always said, you know, people argue, reincarnation isn't real. I always argue, well, if the human soul can enter a physical body once, is it so miraculous that it enters a human body twice?
Exactly. That's exactly what happens. And also, this is a topic that has been discussed in the writings of the ancient Indian tradition, you know, the Upanishads, okay? In Buddhism, okay? In Taoism, you know, all the different philosophies that came out of China. Same thing with Greek philosophy. Plato talked about it in depth, okay?
Right.
Roman philosophy. And the early Christians believed in reincarnation,
right?
Before it was taken out of the Bible. So this has a lengthy historical antecedents, this topic of not only reincarnation, but also the topic that we are one, that we're all, there's nothing separate here, you know?
All is one, yeah.
All is one.
What was I going to say now? Something about, go ahead. Continue.
Well, again, you know, for the fourth time, I'm giving away my book, The Mind of God, which is 200 pages in length. It's written in simple language. It's not written for an academic, okay? So anyone can understand it. And it presents the hypothesis, the theory, the summary of all of these scholars, all of these academic researchers mm-hmm. on what is the nature of our reality, and that all of the paranormal needs to be studied as one integrated phenomenon. Okay, so I'm giving you that book for free. It's 200 pages, obviously in a PDF format. I'm not going to be mailing it to your home. I'll send you the PDF of that. Okay, with color graphs, color illustrations, you know, of the beings that people are seeing, you know, and how people have changed over time, like Whitley Strieber and Kathleen Martin, and how it's all interrelated. So it's very, very detailed. It's anybody can read it and understand it, but people need to read it. If you don't read it, you know,
you're not going to get that information.
You're not going to get it.
I know what I was going to say. I was going to say that in my book, I did a lot of research into reincarnation and apocryphal verses. Those that did not make it, those verses that did not make it into the Bible, into the finished product, I should say, you know, spoke a lot about reincarnation.
Oh yes, definitely. It was,
and even in the Bible, they pulled a lot of these verses out because they didn't want people to think that they had another chance to make it right. You know,
exactly, that you need to repent for your sins. You need to go to church every Sunday. If you don't, you're going to burn in hell. You know,
right.
So reincarnation is not a topic that that is conducive towards promoting this religious ideology of Catholicism.
So even though they pull a lot of those verses out, there is still some that left in that suggest reincarnation is real.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, the Jewish faith left those things in until in the 1930s.
Well, it came back with the Kabbalist tradition, okay? Mm-hmm. The whole tradition of Kabbalah, the Zohar, okay, which came out basically out of Europe, out of Eastern Europe, okay? They are open about reincarnation, except they've kept it internally just to members of their religion. But there's numerous other now Kabbalah scholars, rabbis that have come out publicly discussing on the internet how the Zohar and how that tradition discusses and accepts reincarnation, but very, very detailed, very, very detailed, that whole philosophy of reincarnation.
Right.
Yeah. And so, again, I forgot to mention what I stated that introduction, that send me an email, info@agreateriality.com. So it's info@agreateriality.com. And I will send you not only the entire book, The Mind of God, but I will also send you literally half of the book of Beyond UFOs, primarily the academic chapters, and then also the book, 11 chapters, I should say 11 articles from the book A Greater Reality. And I sprinkle topics on near-death experiences. I have like 4 or 5 different chapters on UFOs, because I know that's what most people are interested in. I have articles on what is consciousness, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to be sending you over 1,000 pages of material. And this stuff, I can guarantee you that very few of you have actually read or actually know about, because these are all new paradigm. These are mind-bending topics that are rarely discussed in the field of ufology.
Right. So I only have a minute left, so I wanted to wrap up by saying your family has had several paranormal experiences, shall we say, and UFO related experiences, but do you view them as positive?
Yes, but in addition to that, we have had out of body experiences.
Okay.
We have had NDE related experiences. Like, for example, my daughter has had 3 people to tell her right in front of her of their near-death experiences. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have had various of the contact modalities, but that's not unusual because, as I said in our book, Beyond UFOs, the overwhelming majority of these individuals are not having physical experiences. Yes, they're seeing a UFO. Yes, they're seeing a physical being, but it's primarily paranormal. And in our cases, and in the cases of the vast majority of the people that took our surveys, these are overwhelmingly positive experiences.
Good. That's good. So, once again, give us that email address that people can send.
Yes. The email address is info@agreaterreality.com.
Very good. Mr. Ray Hernandez, I really enjoyed speaking with you and there's still more we could cover. So hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yes. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank you, the loyal listener. Go to WHFR's homepage and scroll down to We Are Not Alone and click on the headline, which will take you to where you can find my website with all the archived shows. Please join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UAP phenomenon. Until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.